Joined by my watch, which is precisely 1 o'clock right now. But at any rate, first item of business, of course, is the minutes. And Liz Olson isn't here yet, so
Representative,
oh, you would. Well, that will get you on record. Representative Garofalo.
I'm going to have a motion passed today. That's good.
Representative Garofalo, you've studied the minutes thoroughly and you're prepared to make a motion.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I so move those.
Okay, the motion is before us. Any discussion? Seeing none then, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, motion carried. When Representative Knobloch was chair, I think there was only one time when I didn't move the minutes. That was kind of our routine, and Representative Davids, I don't know if he's here, but he had one person, and I think it was a Democrat, that he called on regularly to move the minutes as well. So maybe we'll start a new tradition.
I called on Representative
for the beginning of this right time of session to begin a new.
When I was chair of transportation, I called every meeting on Clark Johnson to approve the minutes. If he wasn't there, they didn't get approved, and he retired.
Representative Garofalo, what are your plans? But at any rate, we're getting near the end of the session, and so like I've announced the last couple of days, we do need to be flexible, so we're going to take up one bill, and that deals with education. We'll explain what that's about, and there will be an amendment dealing with health and human services, and we'll explain that. And then, just like the last couple of days, after we deal with that bill, and there will be motions to put it on the general register, then we will recess just in case there's some action needed by this committee later in the day. And so the budget resolution and a bill that I have on the agenda, they'll just remain there just in case, and then we'll recess at the call of the chair. So Representative Dabney, would you care to make a motion? And if you will then explain the bill.
Certainly. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good. I've got to practice afternoon, everyone. I'm still saying good morning. I'd like to move House File 2889 be before the committee, recommended to pass, and referred to the general register.
Okay. The motion is before us, and we do have an amendment. I'll move the amendment. It's the H2839A1 dealing with human services. And I don't know if Representative Dabney, your education, I don't know if you're prepared to explain that amendment. If not, we'll have staff explain it.
Mr. Chair, if staff could assist, that'd be helpful. Thank you.
It's technical. And, okay. Ms. Abrams?
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. The bill before you is just the forecast article for the education programs. And what the amendment is it's the same idea but for health and human services. That's an area that also has some forecast adjustments in it. And just like for the education programs, there's no cost to it. It's just making sure that the forecasted programs are updated.
It means, in the case of education, we'll explain it, some dollars relative to the forecast will be going to the school districts potentially. So that's the amendment. Any discussion on the amendment? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. Representative Dabney on the bill as amended.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Ms. Adrians. As Ms. Adrians touched on, there are a number of forecasted programs in the education and health and human services area. We need to pass this for those forecasted programs to receive the funds within this fiscal year. There are six programs in education: abatement aid, interdistrict desegregation, transportation, charter school lease aid, long-term facilities maintenance aid, and probably the most important for them, special education.
Okay, and I guess Representative Garofalo's hand went up. I didn't see it earlier. Representative Garofalo?
Oh, no, just once the presentation's done, I just have some questions for Mr. Strom.
Okay. Any further comments, Representative
Davenport? No, Mr. Chair.
Okay. And then the other thing we have to be clear on, there's no impact on the budget resolution with this. It's a forecasted number, so that part of it is clear, and Mr. Strom can explain those details if necessary. Mr. Strom, any comments at this point?
Mr. Chair, members, Tim Strom from House Research. Just that you also do have a one-page description from the budget forecast in your packets today that explains both the K-12 and the very last paragraph, the human services changes.
Okay, that's good information. You're on hold then until we get near done, or?
Just whenever you're done with the presentation, then I'll just.
Okay. Representative Drazkowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I haven't seen a bill like this before, and at least that I remember, and I'm trying to understand the bill, Mr. Chair. I'm still trying to understand the bill.
You know, Mr. Chairman, maybe
can
I
we
should,
walk sorry, through this? Right. Can we walk through this much more slowly? So, it appears to me we're increasing appropriations for the current biennium.
So that's why I referenced that it's in the forecast, but. Representative Garofalo indicated he could explain some of it. He's a former chair as well,
I think
dealing with education. So maybe you've seen this kind of bill before,
yeah, Mr. Chairman, I think as part of my questions, I think maybe that would have some explanation in it. So, Mr. Strom, right now the 23 payments that go out to school districts over the course of the fiscal year, they're using the enacted budget that was passed in the 2017 session. Is that right?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Garofalo, yes.
Okay. And there was a November forecast in 2017 and a February forecast in 2018 where things like enrollment numbers changed, the expectation of how much, or just assumptions changed in the data that we used. Last year, that bill to update that forecast data, not a change in program, but just to update the number of students, for example, that are going to schools, was contained in the omnibus supplemental bill, which was vetoed. So even though it's in base law, there needs to be an appropriation to justify the existing law.
Mr. Chair, Representative Garofalo, yes. The bill last year contained the adjustments for the 2018 appropriations, and the workaround essentially was to move some of the 2019 appropriations in to fill in behind those. And so the bill in front of you, House File 2889, corrects each of the appropriations for the 2019 appropriation to adjust for fiscal year 18, as well as adjusting for the fiscal year 19 changes due to those same factors you mentioned, the pupil unit changes and cost drivers that are included in the forecast amounts.
And Mr. Chairman and
Representative Garofalo.
Mr. Strom, so the data that we're using here, is it fair to say it's using the February 19 data? Forecast 19 data?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Garofalo, yes.
Okay. And so, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Strom, the payments that were going out in fiscal year 18 and have continued into fiscal year 19, have they been using the inaccurate payment data, or have they been compensating for that by basically assuming that the forecast had passed?
Mr. Strom.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Garofalo, I would use the term they've adjusted the payment schedule in anticipation of the legislature enacting a forecast article this year.
Okay. Is there someone from the department here who can talk to this?
Looks like someone's coming forward.
Ms. Snyder from the department.
And if you could identify yourself for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Caitlin Snyder with the Minnesota Department of Education.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Mr.
Chairman.
Did
you hear the question?
And Ms. Snyder, I'll just restate it really quickly. So I kind of wanted to walk the committee through everything because I don't think a lot of people knew about this when it actually happened last year. So what happened was the forecast information was not passed in statute. Therefore, we were using legacy appropriation data, which was lower than what the true forecast data was. And so my question is, were the appropriations, the school districts get 23 payments over the course of a year, right? Yeah, over a year. So were those payments that were going out every 15 days or 2 weeks, they're in statute, we say you get 8% of the payment this time, you get 7% of the payment. Those payments, were they being given out per law, or were people kind of changing the numbers?
Mr. Chair.
Ms. Snyder.
Mr. Chair and Representative Garofalo, the affected payments were prorated based on the existing authority in law, so matching the legislative authority that was given to the Department of Education, the payments were prorated with the understanding that when and if a forecast article is passed, that the appropriations would be essentially caught up to what the appropriations are, matching the legislative language, but not the legislative numbers, if that is clear.
So, Mr. Chairman, and to the testifier, I'm not going to take this out on you. It's not your decision. But we're talking about fiscal year 19 payments, correct?
18 and 19, Mr. Chair.
I didn't hear.
I apologize. Fiscal 18 and 19, Mr. Chair.
And Mr. Chairman, but for fiscal year 18, we didn't know the data changed until the February forecast of fiscal year 2018. So that would have been a more modest amount. So February forecast came out in 2018, and that would have been for fiscal years 18 as well as 19. And when that data came out, we'd be talking about March, April, May, June, 4 months of payments in fiscal year 18. And then 19 would be where the bulk of the changes would be. And feel free, if Mr. Strom, if you want to jump in, or Chairman Dabney.
Mr. Strom.
Mr. Chair, Representative Garofalo, perhaps if you turn to an example of one of these appropriations, it may make sense, it may help a little bit. If you were to turn to page 6 of the underlying bill, the primary, in terms of size, the primary adjustment is to the special education appropriation, and that's on the bottom of page 6. You can see it starting on line 6.26. You can see there that the 2018 number is not being affected. The 2018 appropriation is not being changed. But recall that the 2018 appropriation consists of the regular payment for 2018 and the, what we often refer to as the cleanup payment in 2019. So the top line number on line 6.28 is not changed for fiscal year 2018. But then when you look at the 2019 appropriation, you can see that that's changed on line 6.30. That's roughly $80 million different. And if you turn the page and look at the top of page 7, you can see that that adjustment includes on line 7.1 changing the cleanup payment for 2018 for the year that school districts recognize as 2018, changing that cleanup payment from $166 million to $204 million. So a pretty substantial increase in the cleanup payment for 2018, and that's a payment that's made during calendar year or what the state budget year fiscal year 19, but because the school districts are on accrual-based accounting, they recognize that revenue in fiscal year 18, and they've essentially recognized that this larger payment is coming on their books so far. So it's technically a fiscal, from the state's point of view, it's all done with fiscal year 19 money, but from the school district's point of view, that they're going to get a larger cleanup payment for money that they recognized in fiscal year 2018.
And Mr. Chairman and Mr. Strom, I understand that aspect of it, and that makes sense. Here's my question. The fiscal year 19 payments, the way we do it in statute is we say you get 5% of your, I think it's the entitlement, right? I don't think it's okay, right? And we have, the appropriation is defined, and we send out those individual payments metered out. And what I'm hearing is that, well, we're assuming the appropriation is going to go up. So therefore, the payments are being metered out on a different level than is currently set in current law and statute. Am I correct about that?
Mr. Chair, I may need to check with MMB to understand, and with Ms. Snyder in some detail to understand exactly the payment mechanism for this. But as I understand it, there will be an adjustment in 2019 still for the 2018 payment. So that adjustment is forthcoming, has not yet occurred. So the districts essentially have received less than they were expecting in 2018 in cash, but they're still recognizing on an accrual basis 100% of the amount that they're owed for fiscal year 18.
Yeah, and so, Mr. Chairman, I think, I believe I understood what you said. If I'm mistaken, I will stand corrected, but they are getting more money. Whether it's accurate or not is separate. Okay, just put, I understand what the accuracy of the data is supposed to be, but the payment schedule is based off the appropriation, and the appropriation is lower than the forecast data that was never passed. But they're getting paid based off the forecast data anyways. Mr. Strom.
I'll recognize Mr. Strom.
Mr. Chair, I'm not sure. I don't want to misstate, but my understanding is the expectation is that the full amount will be paid. But I think in terms of the cash actually received by the district, I'm not sure that MDE has forwarded additional cash for bookkeeping purposes for them. So I think on the entitlement basis, it's exactly right. I'm not sure on the cash flow.
Mr. Chair? So,
Representative Dabney.
Thank you, sir. Representative Garofalo, my understanding is MDE is sending out the statutorily appropriated amount of money. The school districts, and accounting is not my strong suit, but the school districts are recognizing a higher amount because that is, in fact, what they are owed, and the difference in bookkeeping approaches explains that. If we do not pass this, the school districts will not receive the difference between the statutorily appropriated amount and the forecasted amount. Normal business would be, in previous years, they would get the statutorily appropriated amount. There would be a difference, presumably to the positive, in the forecasted amount. After the legislature acts, when the department is doing the routine cleanup payments, because remember, education money goes out 90% 1 year and 10% the following, they get a spiff. They get that the difference between the statutorily appropriated of the previous fiscal year and the forecasted amount. So right now they're getting what we said they should get. Statutorily, the forecasted amount is greater, and that's what this bill deals with.
And does the from NDE want to add on to that? Or?
Mr. Chair, Representative Garofalo, Representative Dabney's statements are correct.
Okay. So, Mr. Chairman, and to the testifiers, that's not my understanding of what's happening right now. My understanding is that the payments that are going out right now, we define in statute that it's a certain percentage of the entitlement, and they are actually receiving those percentages right now for the higher entitlement. You're correct. There are appropriations that are lower than the 17 statute. There are appropriations that are higher than the 17 statute, but they are receiving the forecast entitlement payments. Now, it could be the information that was relayed to me was inaccurate based on what you said, Mr. Strom, that the school districts, even though they're not receiving a check in that amount, are recognizing that they're receiving that amount of money. And maybe I can just talk with you offline about that. My primary concern, Mr. Chairman, was that if the department was appropriating money that was not consistent with what the current statute reads. I understand what the accurate number is supposed to be, right? And we probably should have just, you know.
Well, maybe what we can do is perhaps Mr. Strom can check. I'm not sure if it's possible to check any further today, being it's a Sunday, but perhaps you can, when that opportunity presents itself, get back to the committee or Mr. Garofalo in particular. And would that work, Mr. Strom?
Mr. Chair, yes, I'd be glad to, as soon as Ms. Snyder and I can connect with the people actually cutting the checks, we'll make sure that we have that information, and I'll send a brief memo to you to distribute to the committee about that.
And that sounds good.
Mr. Chairman, just to be clear, I am not disputing the accuracy of what the forecast data is supposed to say. I'm not disputing that. My concern is if the executive branches have been taken upon itself, beginning in the Dayton administration and continuing into this one, to just start making appropriations that they think are right and accurate, that's my concern. So I think every member of the legislature would have concerns about that, if that's correct. But it could be that the school districts are recognizing a different number than they're receiving. So we'll talk offline about it, and that sounds good. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate your indulgence.
You're very welcome. Representative Druskowski.
So thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Garofalo, thank you for that, and Mr. Strom and others. Just to take it at a different approach, if we look at line 7.1 on the bill, the catch-up or cleanup payment that's reflected there, the question would be for Ms. Snyder. Has the department paid, been paying schools at the $204 million amount or the $167 million amount?
Ms. Snyder or maybe Mr. Strom, I'm not sure who would be best to answer.
Mr. Chair, Representative Drazkowski, my understanding is that the department has been paying based on the amount of money that was appropriated under the last budget bill versus the forecasted expenditures. So at current law, so if we're looking at the language on 7.1, it would be the stricken numbers.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman Snyder.
Any further discussion? Seeing none.
Mr. Chair, in terms of Representative Drazkowski's earlier question, the forecast article is usually attached to the K-12 bill. So it's usually the last article in that bill. So nearly every year, a forecast article is attached to the regular omnibus K-12 bill.
Okay, any further discussion? Representative Dabney, would you care to renew your motion?
Mr. Chair, I'd renew my motion that House File 2889, as amended, be recommended to pass and refer to the General Register.
Okay, that motion is before us. Any further discussion? Representative Drazkowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Are there any other descriptions of what's going on in the HHS portion, the amended portion, that can help members of the committee understand what's going on there?
If you could speak more into the mic. I'm not too far from you, and I had trouble.
Can someone talk about Article 2 of the bill as amended?
Mr. Chair, that's happily outside my area of limited expertise.
And we are huddling right now to see which of the staff can handle that. And the real and true Mr. Marks is back. We've had impersonators in recent days. Mr. Marks.
Mr. Chair, Representative Drazkowski and members, in the Health and Human Services, or the Department of Human Services article, these are all decreases resulting from either less caseload or lower cost, except for one, the Health Care Access Fund number, which shows up on line 2.1, is an increase of $8.4 million. I don't know the details of that one, but otherwise they're all decreases that reflect the general decrease in spending in that area that was represented in both the February and November forecasts. I could have Mr. Berg get more detail to you, but at this point he's in the Health and Human Services Conference Committee. So.
Representative Drazkowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Mr. Marks. It'll be a decrease. I'll be happy with that portion of the bill.
Representative Pichon.
I'm good. Go ahead. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And my question is to Mr. Strom. Of the $39 million that is not authorized, but this money apparently has been spent by the schools. Is that correct? And is a greater portion of that in the area of special ed? Is that my understanding?
Mr. Chair, Representative Hertaus, yes, almost the largest share of that is all related to special education funding, yes.
And Mr. Chair?
Representative Hertaus.
Thank you. And Mr. Strom, usually when I hear from the school districts that I represent, the special ed is the biggest problem in terms of their funding and the shortfalls, and many of them claim to have no money. How have they paid for this if they have not? Have they been borrowing the money, or they're using reserves, or, you know, do you have any idea of what they're doing there?
Mr. Chair, Representative Hertaus, my guess is that most districts are simply dipping into their reserves a bit for the payments that they would have made essentially during fiscal year 18. To their staff. So my guess is that for most districts that was all out of fund balance. There's still some school districts that do short-term cash flow borrowing, but in the last few years most school districts are not doing cash flow borrowing for any reason, and so as a result for most of those, they're using their fund balance for that.
And Mr. Chair, one last question.
Hertaus.
Thank you. And Mr. Strom, I served on K-12 for 4 years. And I recall that there's approximately a million students in the K-12 system, and if all things were equal, which I'm sure they're not, that would be about $39 per pupil unit. I don't recall, but how many students, and maybe you know, are in the special ed arena?
Mr. Chair, Representative Hertaus, about 145,000 are currently classified with an IEP of one sort or another.
And so this 145,000, thank you, Mr. Chair, this 145,000 students would account for most of that 39 million shortfall then?
Mr. Chair, yes.
Okay, thank you.
Any further discussion? I was reminded, Representative Dabney, you didn't include in your motion as amended. You want to restate your motion?
Certainly. I move that House File 2889 as amended be recommended to pass and referred to the General Register.
You want to make sure we cover the Health and Human Services article. Okay, any further discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. A few of you have come in after I made the initial announcements, but we will shortly go into recess, and the two items that are on the agenda, and there could be some others added. We just don't know what might happen in these last couple of days, so we have to be prepared for it. So we'll try to give, as I mentioned yesterday, at least 30 minutes if we need to reconvene. So with that,
Mr. Chairman, let you know, tonight at 8 p.m. Central Time is the series finale of the series Game of Thrones. I just want to let you know that a vast, substantial portion of the membership of the legislature will be unavailable at 8 p.m. Central Time, so you know.
Well, I should announce, but I won't, but on Tuesday night there's an important program as well. Oh, maybe I will mention my husband. My son plays a role of a detective on a series. He appears in seven of the segments. So, but with that, then we are in recess.